Hey, this is Cam. Thanks for listening to Awakening Church's message of the week.
Everybody good? Yeah. You just never know what you're going to get with my wife. You know what I'm saying? You just never know. I was waiting for her to throw the pillow and say, okay, I'm going to pray in tongues and you give the interpretation and just throw it to you. That would have been fun too. Yeah, that would have been wild. Right, right. I heard a fellow one time. He was in an old country church. This is true now, true story. You never know what you're going to get in old country churches either. Some of y'all that have been in them, you know what I'm talking about. Guy stood up, gave a message in tongues. Fellow stood up, said he had the interpretation. He said, "Yea, I would say unto thee, thou art a humdinger." And then he sat down. So anyway, there's lots of stories like that. Yeah. So the last couple of weeks, we've been pretty intentional about doing some discussion time and just question and answer, and I want to do that, and we're going to tackle a challenging topic tonight. So one of the questions that came in a few weeks ago when I asked for questions was talking about Israel and replacement theology and what does that look like? And there's a lot that's happening in the world right now around that. There's a lot of news that's swirling around Israel and around what our position as a nation should be with Israel. And so we're going to look at Scripture, and we're going to talk about some of the stuff, ask some hard questions. And let me start out by saying, I'm not telling you I have every answer, okay? I'm not telling you I have every answer. I do have some opinions, and I have some things that I can back with Scripture, but this is one of those areas where you're going to have to ask the Lord about some of that, you know, for yourself, and we'll look at what Scripture says. And there are some real passionate views around this particular topic, and that's okay. And so we're going to jump right in. It is impossible, let me just say this, it's impossible to remove the blessing of God on the nation of Israel according to Scripture. Right. It's impossible, okay? You can't do that. One of the challenging things in Scripture are the multiple facets of certain topics that are approached from different positions, okay? And The reason that I like to bring up contrast around those things is because sometimes it can be difficult to talk about some of the stuff in Scripture. And if you study the Bible, you can even find seeming, and I want to be very, very emphatic about that word, seeming contradictions in Scripture, okay? Like around certain things around, you know, time frames and numbers, and there's a particular story in the Bible where it says there were so many thousand people killed, and that number, it's just inaccurate because it would have wiped out the whole village if that were the case, okay? So somewhere in translation, that got adjusted, and there weren't as many people killed in this particular incident, and I don't have all of my notes in front of me on that, so please don't ask that question. I do have them, but just not in front of me. So, but what I'm saying is, scholars have they've actually found that there are things in Scripture that through translations have been somewhat adjusted. Okay, is that okay? Are y'all okay with that? All right. Now, I'm going to tell you that I also know people who probably elevate the nation of Israel above where they should. Let me really mesh with you. I actually know people who elevate this book above where they should. Do I have y'all thinking I'm a heretic yet? No. I hope not. There are many people who move over into Bible worship and not worship of the one who the Bible is about. And I started teaching you guys some time ago that when I say Word of God, this is not what I want you to think about. I want you to think about Jesus. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the fulfillment of the Word of God. And as a matter of fact, that is going to be the ultimate answer about everything we talk about tonight, even in Israel, is the fulfillment that is found in Christ, okay? Are y'all with me? Yeah. And so these are topics that have to be talked about, that have to be, you know, just approached. And here's the other thing, and I think I said this a couple of weeks ago maybe. The older that I get, the less close-handed differences I have with people around Scripture, around ideas. It just, for me, connection is so much more important. And there's a reason that God said to work out your own salvation. And so there are things. Now listen, if we're talking about absolute heresy, where we're talking removing the divinity of Jesus or removing Jesus as the Son of God, then yeah, I've got a problem, and we've got to address some of that stuff. You know, things that are outlined as sin, I'm never going to say, well, that's okay, you can work that out in your own salvation. If it's sin, it's sin, right? And that is the truth. But there are doctrinal things that I'm just not as close-handed anymore as I used to be. And the reason is because most of us, when we first started studying Scripture, we started studying at the wrong place. We started studying at the fall of man. And we started forming theologies around the hyper-escalation and hyper-inflation of sin instead of what it meant to actually walk with God in the cool of the day in the garden and him actually running after Adam once Adam fell, okay? And so I'm not interested in arguing those positions in any longer. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all okay? So when we talk about Israel and we talk about things like this, we cannot remove the blessing of God from Israel, okay? Now, I'm going to start out, and I'm going to probably say some things, and I want to give you permission. It is 100% okay for you to disagree with me, okay? It's 100% okay for you to disagree with me. That doesn't threaten me. That doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm okay with that because I've learned that there may be an option that I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? There is a 50-50 chance every time that I open my mouth that I'm wrong. You understand what I'm saying? And so it's just really okay if you disagree with me around certain things, okay? So I'm just going to throw one out there. I do not personally believe that the blessing of God that we read about in Israel and the covenant that we read in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 17, okay? This is a great night for you to write down a bunch of scriptures because I'm going to give you a bunch, okay? And because I'm not going to tell you anything that I can't find in Scripture, okay? So even if I'm wrong about my interpretation of it, I'm going to be able to give you some context, okay? That is where God outlines the covenant that he establishes with Abraham for the people of Israel, okay? The reason that it's important for you to understand that is because there is another covenant that comes when? In the Old Testament. Who knows? On Sinai. What happened on Sinai? Say it again. Yes, thank you. The Ten Commandments came on Sinai. Now, do we need to do a Bible drill? Do I? Yeah, no. So there's another covenant that happens when they leave Egypt, okay? And so one of the things, this is where I'm talking about there's contrast and why you got to study the Word. Because when you start talking about old covenants and new covenants and the law and all this stuff, you need to know what Paul is actually talking about, okay? Because what I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna show you in Scripture over and over and over again where Paul tells us that in Jesus, and Jesus even says this in Luke chapter 22, that there is a superior covenant in his blood, okay? It's a superior covenant. But now, I need to know, is that superior to Abraham's covenant or is that superior to Moses' covenant? Which is why I can tell you that you cannot remove the blessing of God from Israel because the Abrahamic covenant that happened in Genesis 12, 15, and 17 supersedes even what happened on Sinai. Okay? Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Now, the part that you may not agree with. I do not believe that we are to blindly support what we see in the nation of Israel right now, who still does not recognize the Messiah, as though they are functioning in a position that they do recognize the Messiah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I to pray for Israel? Yes. Am I to support Israel with my finances? Absolutely. Psalm says you'll be blessed if you do that. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it because I want to be blessed. But that doesn't mean that I have to blindly believe that every decision that Benjamin Netanyahu makes is led by the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to tell you emphatically, it's not. Right. It's not. Ryan, how can you say that? There are literal people who would argue with me, and they call themselves Zionists, that would argue with me and say, we have to support them 100%. And I'm going to tell you, if I was around when Ahab was running things, I would have been supporting that joker either. Y'all know who Ahab is, right? Jezebel's husband, right? If I was around when some of the other evil kings were running Israel, I wouldn't have been supporting those guys either, all right? It doesn't remove the blessing on the land and the people that is, watch this, here's the word, available. Because I'm going to tell you that any Jewish person in the nation of Israel that does not believe in Jesus as the Messiah is not living in the fulfillment of the promise that is available to them. Would you all agree with that? Okay? All right. So, having said that, it doesn't mean that we turn our back on Israel in any way. And I want to show you this. So we have the Abrahamic covenant, right? Somebody go to John chapter 8, verse 58. Are y'all okay? This isn't boring, is it? If it's boring, tell me and we won't do it anymore. Okay, good. What'd you say? My wife said it's boring. What'd you say?
I said text me privately.
Oh, text me privately. Yeah. If I look at my phone and I just say, and in closing, you'll know that text came through. You will know that text came through.
John chapter 8.
John chapter 8, verse 58. Who's got it? Go ahead, read it, Jason.
Now Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
Say it, read it one more time. Everybody listen up.
Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
Now why is he saying that? Anybody know why he's saying that?
For the name of the Lord.
Huh? Yes, absolutely. So he is absolutely, it's incorrect English to say before Abraham was, I am, okay? It's also, in the Passion Translation, it says before Abraham was born, I am. But it is Jesus acknowledging himself as being in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where Moses says, who will I tell them sent me? And he says, what? I am that I am, right? So he is acknowledging it. But why is he having this conversation? Does anybody know why? Absolutely. The Jews were questioning his identity. The Jews were calling him a demon-possessed man. And they were hanging their hat on everything connected to Abraham. Okay? They're hanging their hat on everything connected to Abraham. Now, I wish I could tell you that if I was there and I was a Pharisee and I had studied the law as much as they did, that I would have been able to just accept Jesus completely without reservation with him standing right in front of me. But I'm going to tell you, I know my personality and I know my makeup. I would have had some questions. And I know some of you all would have had some questions too. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit and I'm grateful for the Word that I get to study and find things out, okay? But because I want you to think about this, because we give the Pharisees a bad time. And listen, they were jokers. They were ornery. And they were nasty, and they were religious, and they were just like so many of us, you know, over and over again. And you've heard my testimony. I remember the day when in his mercy he said, Ryan, you are the Pharisee. And I had to repent because I realized he's exactly right. He's telling me that in love. He's telling me that in kindness, but he's trying to help me. But what they're doing is they're saying, okay, you're asking me to forget everything that I've studied for years. Like I've given my life to study this. And so now you're telling me this is here. And what Jesus is trying to initiate is this thought process and this idea that we really don't see resolution until Paul begins to teach Gentiles. Honestly, Peter teaches them some too, but we really see it with Paul. And Paul has so much clout because he was a Pharisee, okay? He was a Pharisee among Pharisees, and so he's teaching along this way. But Jesus is trying to let them know your connection to Abraham as an heir is really nothing. I'm actually superior to that, okay? It's actually a bad boy moment in Scripture. It's Jesus letting them know. You know, how many of you have seen The Chosen?
Yeah.
Where he says, I'm greater than the tabernacle of Moses. And I just, the whole night, I watched it, I was like, yeah, you know? Because it's true and it's right. And that's another moment right here where he's like, listen, I know you're happy that you're a great, 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 great descendant of Abraham. But before Abraham ever was, I am. I am. And they probably left mad and said, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Because how did you argue that, okay? So it's just really important for you to understand Jesus is establishing this, okay? Another scripture you can look at is in Luke chapter 22. It's Luke's version of the upper room discourse where he's having the Last Supper. And I would just write that one down. You don't have to go there. But this is Jesus saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Okay, that's what this is. This is a brand new covenant. Okay, all right. Now, somebody go to Galatians chapter 3. Actually, let's do this first. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'll just read this because I've got it here already. I'm going to start at verse 14. Ephesians 2, 14. All the way down through, honestly, verse 18. These are good. Listen, these are really good study points for you to just meditate on, okay? That's why I give you these references. I don't ever want anybody that's under my teaching to say, I don't know where to start in the Bible, okay? Because I'm going to give you tons and tons of references, and you just do like this, and you just start on one of them, okay? And then read it over and over and over again until it makes perfect sense. You don't have to go read 8 chapters a day, and all that stuff, read for quantity, okay? Just read something that resonates with you and ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying, okay? All right, here we go. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. I'm in the Passion Translation. He has made, listen to this, Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. Does everybody understand that? You understand the depth of that statement? He's made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. Okay. By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by his command. Now, what is he doing? Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's fusing the Abraham covenant, and he's fusing the Mosaic covenant. What is happening? We're good. Okay. Oh, the kids. They're having a Jericho march up there. If the ceiling falls, then we'll just shout with them and play real loud, okay? No. That's good, because I can't even hear them. Jesus, in my ears, I pray. Jesus. Okay, here we go. What was I tell you? I said something really good right there. What was it? Fusing the covenants. Thank you. He's fusing the Abraham covenant and the Mosaic covenant together, okay? Because he talks about there's no difference in Jew and non-Jew. And then he talks about the code that was there, which is connected to Moses' covenant, the reason we needed the law, right? You understand that's why the law came, was to show you that you suck. I'm serious. Paul says the only reason for the law to be here is to let you know that you are a sinner. It has no ability to redeem you from sin. It has no ability to give you retribution. It has no ability to pay any sort of a price, but it just wants to let you know that it's there, which is why I have such an issue with living under an old covenant mindset when it comes to the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Because if I live under an old covenant mindset, what I'm saying is that what Jesus did in the new covenant is not enough to erase what happened and what was outlined and what was illuminated because of the old covenant.
Yeah.
In other words, it's try harder, but no, you're never going to get it done. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that is how a lot of us were raised. That's how a lot of us were taught scripture. And listen, I want to say this. We were not taught that maliciously. We were taught that because it's the only revelation they had in the moment, and they were doing their best to help us get closer to Jesus. And that's why I can say I'm so thankful for my heritage, and I'm so thankful for a grace and a revelation that is progressive that moves me on to understand who the man really is.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by his command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews fused together. Two have now become one. We live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ through his crucifixion. Hatred died. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were distant and those who are near. And now, because we are united in Christ, we both have equal, listen to this, equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. Equal and direct access. Equal to what? Equal to the Jews. Right? Equal to the Jews. Okay, Galatians 3:29. Somebody go there really fast. When you got it, somebody read it.
And if you belong to Christ, then you are now Abraham's child and the true heir of all his blessings because of the promise God made to Abraham.
Yeah, what translation is that?
Passion.
Really?
Galatians 3:29.
Yeah, that's a revised or updated.
Because you have it in the...
Throwing this thing out. I need a new one. Joke. Okay, let me read it. It's essentially the same thing, but yeah, this language is a little different. And since you've been united to Jesus the Messiah, you are now Abraham's child and inherit all the promises of the kingdom realm. Yeah, I like this one better too. I don't know why they had to go back and fix it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Sorry. What is the depth of that right there? I can explain it to you, but I want to know, what does that do to you? After everything I've said just to this far, when you hear that, and since you've been united to Jesus the Messiah, you are now Abraham's child and inherit all the promises of the kingdom realm. What does that say? Anybody?
Is it like if you're non-Jew, you become like, you can still have the blessings of becoming a Jew, but you just join Christ?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. This scripture right here, Paul is saying, you now become the inheritance, a part of the inheritance that is available to anyone that was a biological heir of Abraham. You now become the fulfillment of that in Christ. Okay? Here's why it's important. And this word replacement theology, a lot of people, what they talk about replacement theology is this, that somehow a body of people has replaced Israel as God's chosen people. Okay? And here's what I want to say. Here's where it gets out in the weeds, when people try to establish other nations as that. Like, I've literally heard people try to compare the nation of America as though all of those blessings that come to Israel and the church are now America's blessings. And that's hogwash. Like, it's just hogwash. It is the church. It is the ecclesia. It's the body of Christ, okay? It is you, and you happen to be in America. But if you're not from America and you're in Christ, it's still you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not a national thing. It is absolutely a spiritual thing. And that's why I can say things like, I don't have to agree with everything that Netanyahu does or says, because he's not functioning in the fullness of the covenant with Jesus. It doesn't mean he's not led. It doesn't mean he's not blessed from time to time. But it also doesn't mean that what comes out of his mouth is the gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying? But none of that, none of what I just said, removes our command to pray for, bless, and sow into Israel. Why? Because the covenant that came to Abraham supersedes the covenant that came at Sinai, but both find their fulfillment in Jesus. Listen to me. The fulfillment for land, the fulfillment for descendants, the fulfillment for all of the nations of the world to be blessed, because you understand that's part of the Abrahamic covenant, right? Is that all of the nations of the world would be blessed. It would be so cool if Rick Curry was here with me right now, because we could just go back and forth. He has one of the most in-depth teachings on the Abrahamic covenant that you will ever hear in your life. I mean, he breaks it down to why we do things at our weddings that come from the covenant of Abraham, okay? It's beautiful, and I love talking to him about this stuff. Yeah. Hey.
What was his name?
His name's Rick Curry. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that teaching is available online, but I may just need to call him and tell him and Jennifer to come hang out, and we'll just set it up and do it one night here, okay? Yeah. So anyway, yeah, he does have some stuff on YouTube, and he's probably got that study somewhere, because he's taught it for years and years and years, and he used to teach it in like the Brownsville School of Revival and all that stuff. So I'll text him and ask him if he has it available that I can, you know, get it to you guys. But anyway, so the covenant of Abraham, the descendants, the lands, all of the nations of the world being blessed. You understand that that's part of that covenant. Do you see the generational thinking that Yahweh had talking to Abraham when he says all of the nations of the world will be blessed because of your seed? He's foretelling Christ.
Yeah.
The whole covenant ceremony that happens around Genesis 12 to 17, you know, when he walks between the two sacrifices, all that stuff, the burning flask and all that stuff, that is such a foreshadowing of Jesus coming. And he says to Abraham that all of the nations of the world will be blessed because of your seed. And Abraham is barren, and Sarah is barren, and they can't have a child, and they have to function in faith. It's a foretelling that everything that we receive in the new covenant does not come by physical, tangible means, but it comes through faith in Christ as the Messiah. And here's the beauty of it. The fulfillment of that in-depth covenant of all of the nations in the world being blessed, the only place it can find its fulfillment is where? In Jesus. It's the only place it can find its fulfillment is in Jesus. Do you understand that? That when Jesus came, he ushered in the beginning of the fulfillment of the covenant that Yahweh made with Abraham. And it is for, yes, the nation of Israel to be blessed. And yes, there to be a land and a state that is theirs. And yes, for them, you may or may not know this. I study finance and I study things. A lot of the top financial minds in the world, guess what their descendant is? They're Jewish. Now, it's not all the way across the board, okay? But that is a huge delegation of people. Why? Because they view finance according to the promise of the Old Testament. Could you imagine what it would be like for them if they viewed that promise through the fulfillment of Christ as well? Yeah, because he's teaching me stuff every day that I have no ability to do on my own, but it's because I'm connected to him that things begin to unfold. And so I'm saying that because every bit of the fulfillment that is necessary for this Jewish people is found in Christ, okay? Are y'all okay? We're going a little longer tonight. Is that all right? Okay. Hebrews chapter 8, 5 and 6. You can write that down. We don't have to go there. It argues that everything in the Abrahamic and Mosaic covenant was a shadow of heavenly realities and finds full realization in Christ's priesthood and covenant. I'll just give you the cliff notes. The writer of Hebrews is saying this. Listen, the priest minister in a tangible temple on earth, but that temple came as a pattern from heaven to God. Remember when God told Moses, I want you to build this tabernacle, but he said, you have to build it exactly like this. He's giving him a heavenly blueprint for a reality on earth. And then he says, Christ fulfilled all of that and then more in the covenant. Okay? All right. All right. Here's what you're not going to find in the New Testament. You're not going to find a refuting of the Abrahamic covenant. So if you want to listen to those that are saying that we don't have to bless Israel and we don't have to be so connected and all that stuff, they're going to have a little better context. One of the things that I get so aggravated about are people who make blanket statements and they don't put them in context, okay? Or they don't have structure. And we live in a world, because of video editing and AI and all of these things, where blanket statements just get thrown out there and there's no context. And if you ever listen to a podcast with me, Rebecca can attest to this, I will talk to the preacher that's in the podcast, and he can't hear me, but I'm talking to him saying, you can't make a blanket statement like that and not explain it, because we confuse people when we do those things, okay? And so that's why I'm saying there's this whole movement that's happening, and they're going after young people right now, specifically. They're going after young people to reject Israel, okay? And I'm not going to mention names, but there's people that are doing that, and they want to reject Israel. And here's the thing that you have to understand. As a father, right, there are things that your kids do and say that are maybe not exactly what you want it to be, but you don't just throw out this blanket statement and say, no, you're completely wrong, that's not it. You got to walk them through things and help them to learn, right? And that's what we need. We need mothers and fathers who are going to stand up and say, listen, you can't remove the blessing of Israel from the New Testament, much less the Old Testament, because it finds its fulfillment in Christ. But I can come alongside you and say, sometimes Netanyahu is a knucklehead. You understand what I'm saying? I can do that. I can be okay with that. Because guess what else I can do? Donald Trump is a knucklehead sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? And there are people that would think that's heresy. And they need help, just to be quite frank. They need help, okay? Now, does he do a lot of great things? Yeah. And I've heard people say he's David and all this stuff. Whatever. I tend to think he's probably more along the lines of Cyrus. Cyrus, who was a pagan ruler, right, that God used. That's what I'm going to say. You don't have to believe. You don't have to agree with me. But I'm one of those guys that I absolutely love America, but I don't pledge allegiance to anything but the Lamb.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's just how I roll. You know what I'm saying? I want America to be blessed. Do you know why I want America to be blessed? It's not so we can have money.
Right.
It's not just so that Republicans can be in office. Mm-hmm. All right? It's not that. I want America to be blessed because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's what I want to see. And I want to see an end to abortion. And I want to see that stain of the blood of innocent children that is crying out over our nation. I want to see it be completely removed. And we've seen so many great things happen in that movement. And I'm so grateful for that. But if we ever get to the point to where we actually think that whoever's in the Oval Office or sitting in the top chairs at the UN are really going to usher in peace and usher in health and do all the things that we need to do, we have missed the boat. Because I'm telling you, there is no king but Jesus. And he is king. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he sits on the circle of the earth. And every promise that is to Abraham's children is to you and to me and to those that are far off. And it finds its fulfillment in Jesus the Christ.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me read this and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask some questions. So the New Testament treats the Abrahamic covenant as unconditional and eternal, yet ultimately requiring Christ for its true fulfillment. Okay. And we're grafted in. Where did we learn that we're grafted in? Bible drill, come on. That's so easy. If you don't know this one and you've been under my teaching, we're going to fight. Where are we grafted in? John, where? John 15. Holy Jesus. Oh, my goodness. He's the vine. We are the branches, right? There, listen. Who is in this room? So Tanya, Josh and Heather, and Rebecca. Yeah, but Timmy and Casey heard it a lot in the internship. But specifically, Tanya, you and Josh and Heather. What was it, like 6 months? A straight 6 months?
10 years.
10 years, yeah, for real. But at least a straight 6 months where we gathered in my house every single week and the only topic was John 14, 15, and 16. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
It was life-changing.
Yeah, it was really good.
Which is why it's for
scripture, right? Yeah, yeah. And we did, what did we do this at the beginning of this year? It's like 6 weeks.
It was 14, 15.
Yeah, I knew it was 14, 15, 16. But
webinar.
Yeah, the webinar. We did like 6 weeks on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or 4 or 6 weeks? I can't remember.
I remember Josh did, whenever we were doing that, he brought in some really great research around grapevine.
Yeah.
And all of that. And it was about John 15.
Yeah. 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 So it's so important to understand that we are grafted in, and Jesus gives us that picture in John 15, okay? So the blessing for all nations is completed and made possible in Jesus, the perfect covenant keeper and the mediator of the superior promises. What does that mean? What's a mediator? Y'all know? Someone that goes in between and enacts the covenant, right? So the covenant of God is here. The people are here. We're knuckleheads sometimes. God's perfect. And so Jesus is right here and he's saying, okay, I know they're being knuckleheads, but you're perfect. And so now let me mediate this covenant and become the fulfillment where they find everything they need in me. That's the role of Jesus, okay? Are y'all okay? We good? All right. The Abrahamic covenant needed the new covenant in Christ for its realization. For land, descendants, and blessing become spiritual in Christ, eternal inheritance, and global family and salvation, okay? So, let me just say this. The Abrahamic covenant is surpassed by the New Testament in that its promises find fuller spiritual and universal expression through the work of Jesus, making the new covenant superior in scope and in fulfillment, okay? So, all of that to remind you once again, you cannot remove the blessing of Israel. I don't care what Candace Owen says. I don't care what Charlie Kirk was finding out. And I do believe that Charlie Kirk was actually, and I'm talking about this because these are hot topic issues, okay? And when I asked those questions and people started sending them in, it was when Charlie Kirk had just been assassinated. I believe that Charlie Kirk was beginning to find out, hey, listen, I think sometimes Netanyahu's a knucklehead. And I've got to say something about that, okay? But it doesn't matter what rabbit hole they go down. They cannot remove the blessing of God from Israel, okay? And I don't want to say but. I want to say, and it only finds its fulfillment in Christ.
Thank you for listening to Awakening Church's Message of the Week. If you would like to partner and connect with us in transforming culture to mirror the kingdom through prayer, presence, and family, you have the opportunity to give. You can go to give@awakeningky.com. Like and subscribe, and let's transform culture to mirror the kingdom together. Have a blessed day.